Fan Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? We are live and in living color. Wasn't that a TV show?
It was.
Let me turn you up.
Fantastic TV show.
Never saw it.
It was a great like sketch comedy, and it was kind of like Saturday Night Live meets...
Wasn't the Masked Dude in that?
Yeah, like the Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, wasn't he in it?
All right. Wayans Brothers.
I mean, I know it was a funny show, but I don't watch funny things.
Great.
I don't want to be entertained. I want to stay down. I want to stay depressed.
Well, that's why you host this show.
No, that's why I have you on the show.
Well, you have me because I'm the only one that's consistent.
Consistent at what?
Showing up every week.
Well, that's not true because you missed 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
But I called out in advance.
Well, you still missed. All right, scheduled on today's show, the return of Mike Trezano. He was on back when he won the Ultimate Fighter. Felice Herrig. And last night's, and yes, I know it was taped, but we saw the episode last night of the Ultimate Fighter. Eduardo Perez is on. Kind of an interesting episode last night that I'm sure you missed because I'm sure you didn't watch it.
Wow, I was busy.
Doing what?
Oh, wow. Let's see. What day was yesterday?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's head out to Las Vegas. Let's get the ball rolling as we get ready for UFC Fight Night 207. And welcome back to the program, Mike Trezano. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Great to have you back on. It's been a little while. What's Fight Week like for you?
It's relaxing. You know, all the hard work is done. It's more focused on just the weight cut and staying recovered and ready to perform on Saturday night.
Do you try not to think that you're, what, three and a half days away from returning to the octagon? Or are you thinking about it? Are you consistently thinking about your opponent and game planning and et cetera?
Yeah, I think about it, but I do a lot of stuff during fight week to kind of clear my head and get myself in the zone before the night. Like I went to the movies last night just to kind of chill and relax. So I just keep it calm.
What'd you go see?
The new Top Gun.
How was it? One person so far, everybody that I've seen on social media didn't like it, but it seems like everybody else did. Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was great. It, you know, coming with a sequel to a movie that good, they usually mess it up every time, but they did a good job.
From what I understand, I don't do many movies. I can't sit still that long to go and watch, but eventually I'll go see it. That they had a lot of references, and did they have a lot of references and such as to the original?
Oh, yeah. It tied in very well.
What else do you do fight week to relax, whether it's TV shows, whether it's, you know, play on video games or what?
Yeah, I'll usually play some video games or... the weather's nice, so I've been sitting by the pool, just relaxing. Nothing special.
Nothing crazy. Under or over 100 degrees out there right now?
It's under. It's actually pretty nice. It's only like 80 right now, but it's better than Jersey because Jersey's like 90 with 90% of humidity. So here is great.
We're based in Tampa Bay. We went out on the boat yesterday, and I think it was about 2,412 degrees yesterday.
Oh, I bet.
What has been the biggest change, you know, in your training, in anything that you would consider the biggest change since joining the UFC back in 18?
Focusing on my recovery. I've had a bunch of injuries in the past, and I've been trying to recover just as hard as I train. And it's been helping big time.
what do you know, how much do you know about your opponent? And I always ask this, you know, does it even matter about the opponent? And is it more just what you're going to do on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to go in there and implement my game plan. I don't know too much. I know he's a good striker. He's tough. So I'm just going to go in there and do my thing.
So Mike, on the recovery side, I see, you know, like Chuck Liddell, he has the ice barrel. I see George St. Pierre is using the same one.
I have a good process, too. I just don't train.
Well, no, but here's the tip. Here's the key. Get an old freezer. If you want to do ice bath therapy, but you don't have to keep buying bags of ice and hauling it to, like, break it up, make the water cold, just get a freezer, a deep freeze, fill it up with chlorine like you would a pool, put the tab in it so it doesn't freeze up, set it on a timer, and then, like, every 16 hours you freeze it, then 8 hours you defrost, and it will be, like, the perfect ice bath all the time, and you don't have to buy ice.
Are you telling me that?
I'm telling you that, but Mike's a big fan of ice bath therapy.
Oh.
Right, Mike? I mean, how big has it changed the game for your recovery?
I mean, I do ice baths. I do the cryotherapy, too. I think it's important. You know, it helps heal your body.
I tried that once in Vegas, but I guess you need to do it more than one time to make it work, right?
Yeah, you got to do it a couple of times during the week and be consistent with it. It's like anything else. If you do it once, you're not going to really see results.
I did it for a radio, you know, gig, then talked about it, and it's like, yeah, I think I need to do it more than just one time. I'm curious, do you collect anything, whether it's your memorabilia or, you know, albums or football cards, or are you a collector?
Not too much. I don't really collect anything, to be honest.
Have you seen, you know, the Panini cards? And I would assume that you're in one of the sets, correct?
Not to my knowledge.
I'll have to reach out to them. You know, they send us a list and they send us giveaways, you know, cards to give away. So I was curious about that. What, when you're not in training, how do you relax? And is it different than, you know, a fight training camp or this week? Do you do anything other than what you would be doing in a fight camp to relax and kind of just clear your head?
Yeah, I mean, usually when I'm home, I'll go fishing or hunting, play some video games, relax. That's how I clear my head.
We need to get you down here to Tampa Bay and get you out on the water and do some fishing.
Oh, I'd be there in a heartbeat.
We will definitely follow up. You know, we go out bow fishing at night, which is pretty cool. Deep sea fishing. So, yeah, we got access to quite a few boats. The boats on at the Walt Disney World Lakes. We can hook you up with that as well, but that's after Saturday. What can the fans expect, you know, when you get back in the Octagon on Saturday?
They should expect an entertaining fight, and I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to look for the finish.
What's going through your mind during a fight? I mean, is it clear and you're not really thinking at all, and you're just, you know, acting on instinct, or are you thinking? Are you thinking ahead?
Oh, yeah, I'm constantly thinking, looking for setups, feints, seeing how he's reacting so I can look to hit the openings. Always, my mind's always in there.
Always going. Well, I want to thank you for coming back on the program. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of really cool socks from Odd Sock Official as well.
Sweet. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Mike, take care. That is, Mike was on during you know, his season of The Ultimate Fighter.
He was. Absolutely.
I'd like to kind of go back. Well, I'd like you to kind of go back because you know that I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
And kind of jot down and look at every season and how many of the athletes from each season, you know, have been on and are still involved in either MMA or in the UFC.
Oh, that's way too much work for me.
Well, do one season at a time.
I can't do that. What was that, 27 seasons?
No, it's 30.
Dang, I'm getting old.
All right, Mike, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, Mike back in the Octagon on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. You know,
30 seasons of UFC Ultimate Fighter. Like, that's crazy because it feels like it just yesterday. I mean, it's still like that Stefan Bonner, like, Griffin fight was just like a year ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a year ago, but I bet you it, to me, it feels like 10 years, 12 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's obviously been, you know, more than that.
For
but,
sure.
You know, I remember that season vividly because, you know, it was Chuck, it was Randy, it was Willa Ford, who is now married to former Buccaneer Ryan Neese. I just saw a photo. What's that about?
I thought you said Wilma. I thought it was like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, tell say that to Ryan Neese.
Okay.
And then Ryan may send down his dad, one of the greatest NFL football players of all time.
What's that got to do with fighting?
Because he'll whoop you.
No.
One of my favorite stories, Ryan's in the lobby, and I believe they're playing the 49ers, and he's sitting there with his family, and Cadillac Williams walks by, and then later that night, he says something to Ryan Neese about, do you know who you were sitting with? Are you paying attention?
No, I don't know who he is.
Well, he asked Ryan Neese, do you know who you were sitting with? And he goes, yeah, of course I know who I was sitting with, my dad. And he goes, Ronnie Lott's your dad? And he didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Well, you don't know a lot.
Well, maybe that's the difference. Ronnie Lott could probably kick my butt.
I just said that.
I didn't know who he was.
Oh, my God. This is tough.
But he's pretty much a legend.
No, he is a legend.
Well, no, I don't know. He's a great player.
He's a legend.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is. He's a legend.
A legend?
He is a legend. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. If you were to ask knowledgeable fans... Not you and not, you know, people you know.
What are you talking
about? But knowledgeable football fans.
I know all the positions. And, I know all the X's and O's.
And you were to say to knowledgeable football fans, put an all-star team together of any player. And, you know, I don't know. Give me a number. 100 people. I'm going to say more than half of them will have Ronnie Lott on the team.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely.
What position did he play?
A defensive back.
Okay. So...
Had 9.5. Well, no, he had 2 thumbs and 7.5 fingers.
That's cheating.
That's cheating.
Yeah. You can't have that many fingers. That's why you got the interceptions.
Well, no, he had a little piece missing, so that's why so many popped off his finger.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie Lott was the man.
Because I could catch a football if I had 7 fingers. I mean, that would be a lot easier to grip.
Oh my God. Let's go to a break, and let's see if Matt is still here when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Kurt Gowdy, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jonathan Silverman, and you are talking sports with Randy Harris.
That's weird.
No, it's
you're
not.
Right? I thought you were on a seizure.
No, that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, because you're a rock and roll guy.
That's Ronda Rousey's walkout song.
But you hang out with rock and roll guys, and that's what they do. Why do they headbang? Do they have CTE from that?
I don't know. They...
I mean, I talked to Steve. He seems like he has some issues.
I said that to John Robinson when we went to see the Scorpions in Vegas, and he's got his arm up, and it's like, dude, you're ruining my view. But yeah, but no, that I don't give a damn about my bad reputation is Ronda Rousey with the controversy that's going on with the WWE and the couple other champions that walked out because Ronda was given the title.
Wow, she earned it, didn't she?
Well, it's not even so much if you earn it. And yeah, she did. She earned it because of who she is and what she's done at this point.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot different than, you know, when you come into an MMA organization and walk right into a title fight, you know, which has happened. Normally you have to have a fight or two, but it has happened. WWE, it's all up to the script writers, and Ronda deserves because of who she is. The thing I don't like about Ronda in the WWE, she's a goodie. She's a babyface. She's not a heel. She was a heel in the UFC.
Right, of course.
You know, and that's the whole premise of the song. You know, I don't give a damn about my bad reputation, but now she's not a heel anymore. Everybody loves her.
True. It's kind of like me on the show.
Nobody loves you.
I'm the heel.
Yeah, you are the heel.
It's my job. Yeah. Got to play the role.
All right, a couple things to touch base on real quick. Did you hear the news at the top of the hour at the start of the show when that guy... I'm assuming
you're
a guy.
Your president?
No, I don't talk. Oh. that guy said because they're rationing water, that he would rather he would rather have a green yard and not shower all summer.
Sure.
A, I hope he lives alone, and B, it would still smell.
Well, you don't know. He might have a pool. Maybe showers in the pool.
No, he said no shower.
What if he showers in the sprinkler while it's on water in his grass? Goes out there with a bar of soap, and you know it's all natural.
30 years ago today, Derek Jeter was drafted.
Oh, Joe Malloy, congrats. The greatest signing of his career.
Whoever would have brought in Derek Jeter.
You know, Joe said that at the time, they didn't take risk on draft picks or potentials. That they were the New York Yankees, and you had to prove yourself in the Major League Baseball before you got to wear the pinstripes. And he said that Jeter was the first one where they took a chance on a guy with no name, just potential. And he said he trusted his team, and they signed him. And
that doesn't make sense.
The rest is history.
But that doesn't make sense because they have draft picks every year.
Yeah,
but they draft somebody number one, their first rounder, their second rounder. They do that every year.
I'm just telling you what I was told.
I'm just telling you it doesn't make sense.
It worked out.
No, I understand it worked out, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're
saying. Have draft picks every year. What do you mean they don't take chance?
Well, but it was like drafting like on potential, not like established record of people who, you know, to give that kind of contract to is like groundbreaking.
It did all work out. Today's the big golf event in Vegas.
And who's playing?
That would be Thomas Brady.
Oh, Tom Brady.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Against Patrick Mahomes,
okay,
and Josh Allen, the young guys against the old guys.
All four going in the Hall of Fame.
I think it's a little early to say that. Two are definite, the old guys. You would assume Mahomes, especially if he continues. Yeah, I think it's a little early to say about Josh Allen.
He hasn't won anything yet. He hasn't done anything yet.
You know, yeah, right. I mean, you know, he's a very good quarterback, but you still need to go out there and produce, unless you're Dan Marino. And then you don't have to produce.
It's true. I mean, he makes pizzas.
Yeah, but he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no.
So I'm saying.
Right.
So at least Mahomes has won a Super Bowl, won MVPs. He's already done that. Josh Allen is just the next guy.
He ran a lot of yards. Like, he covered a lot of ground and got nowhere. Like, to have that kind of career with those kind of stats, he just went from end zone and then back and then end zone to back, just never crossing the line.
Who the hell are you talking about?
Marino.
Oh, we're past him.
Oh, well.
You know
who you're talking about. Mahomes?
Yeah. I just got an email.
Okay.
So I reached out to the person who sent me the email.
Okay.
It's an event that's coming to the Clearwater area.
All right.
And I said, do you want to come on the show? Do you want to talk about it? He said, we're not advertising. We're not promoting this event. It's a closed event. Then why'd you email?
Huh.
That, you know what I'm saying?
Can you say what it is?
No.
Well, tell me.
No.
Just write it down.
Hurricane season.
Oh, it's here.
It's here.
We got a hurricane coming out.
The Carolina hurricane.
Oh, that's over.
That is over.
New York put an end to that one.
And how many Lightning fans, how many season ticket holders of the Tampa Bay Lightning are very happy that it's the New York team?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because they can sell their tickets.
Wasn't that where St. Louis went?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I just saw it. You know, I don't know what was on. And they showed a clip about St. Louis in the New York jersey was just sweater. I'm sorry, the New York sweater. It's a sweater.
Yeah.
Seeing him in the New York sweater was just strange. You know, every once in a while, you know, athletes move on.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to be weird for me to see Alex Kappa in a Cincinnati Bengal, you know, jersey.
Sure.
But, you know, most people that change teams. I didn't think it was strange, per se, to see Caleb, you know, in the Patriots jersey. You know, I have one of his Detroit Lion jerseys, in the Saints jerseys. But there's certain guys. And seeing St. Louis in something other than the Lightning jersey was just strange.
Yeah, well, I think when you play that many seasons for the same brand or same franchise, it is weird to see them in a different uniform.
I do need to throw a big plug out for the big gay. Can I say that?
The what?
Can we say gay in Florida?
I can call him Steve if you want to. I mean, what are you calling him?
There's a big voting process going on right now.
I saw the billboards.
To be the Grand Marshal of the St. Pete Pride Parade.
Okay.
So all I can ask you is to go to Google, St. Pete Pride Parade, find out how to navigate to it. I tried. I got lost. And throw a vote to our own Mick Ferrari.
Yeah.
How would you like to see him going down the streets of Central Avenue waving as the Grand Marshal of the, well, the, being the big poopah, the Grand Marshal of the St. Pete Pride Parade?
That's awesome. That's cool. It's great accomplishment, a great honor for him.
It just means he has a lot of friends. Because that's, you know, that's all about voting.
It's all popularity contest.
Yeah, American Idol, all
and
of
he,
that.
And he does all the glam, you know, beauty pageants. He makes everybody else, you know, look their best. So it's time for him to be the head of the
I
show.
Don't know the details, and I know how much you like or love Alex Weghorn, but Alex started,
like
he started a new gig yesterday.
He did.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, he's doing like cigar brand
he's
management.
He's been doing cigar. He's been running that cigar place on downtown, but now he is the face. He is the world's most interesting man of this worldwide cigar company.
Yeah.
So he's going to the Dominican Republic to do a grand opening of a cigar.
Yeah. I mean, I think like his great-great-grandfather once smoked a cigar, and now he's got some kind of lineage.
Is that what it is?
I think so. I think something like that.
Right.
All right, but no, it'd be great. It's great to be the face of a cigar company. He's got the look. He's got the mustache and the thing.
It's great to be the face of anything.
Is it really?
Yeah, sure. Something. You're the face of this pizza restaurant.
Face of Knockout Radio.
Yeah, you're not that.
Well, I could be.
When I die,
well, we had live streaming. I would be the face of this.
If my wife decides to give you my equipment,
or
not burn it,
you won't even be cold yet. And she'll be like, "Hey, can you come pick up this crap from my living room?"
I think she'll just throw it away,
along with all the memorabilia from the storage lockers. Like I'm gonna make out like a king.
Why would you get it?
She's not gonna go through and sell all that and list it on eBay. She's just gonna call like the 1-800 junk now. And like three dudes will show up in khaki pants and like load it on the back of a truck. And, you know, 65 years of your hard work will be gone.
Oh, it's already gone.
But I'm going to save it. I'm going to save your career and your memorabilia.
I am going to have a will written that you get nothing. Nothing.
I won't. I can't read. I'm not going to obey it.
All right, let's go ahead and break. When we come back, we're going to head back out to Las Vegas for UFC Fight Night 207, the return of Felice Herrick when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Maybe you should write it in Braille.
We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Young. You're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris, straight from Tampa Bay.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung Batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Cabbage from the UFC, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
See, we went way back with Cabbage. You keep moving around on it.
Cabbage.
Cabbage was a fighter early UFC. Well, early to you is probably when I first started.
Probably. I mean, I got into it around, like,
Cabbage was in the late 38, 39, early 40s, man. Fought Tim Sylvia before Tim won the title.
I was around, yeah, that era.
Let's go back to Las Vegas as we get ready for Saturday night's return to the Octagon, UFC Fight Night 207. And let's welcome back to the program, Felice Herrick. Felice, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a while since your last fight week. Is it the same? Is every fight week the same?
No. In terms of what?
Just getting through it, preparing for it?
Not really. This has been like, and I know everybody probably says it, like, every fight, like, this is the best fight week of my life or the best I've ever felt, but it truly is the best I've ever felt, like, in my life.
See, I never ask it that way because I remember Tim Sylvia telling me the biggest question that all of the fighters can't stand is trying to talk about, you know, preparation. And, you know, he would always say, like, yeah, I want to tell you my left knee hurts.
So, you don't really talk about the preparation. But I feel like in terms of just because I don't – just a little backstory, like, because I had two knee surgeries and I feel like – because of the knee surgeries, I've had to be so much more in tune and aware of my body to where I, like, have done so many extra things to, like, really take care of it, you know, as far as training, nutrition, recovery, you know, like, my massages, my body work, like, my stretching, my yoga, like, everything, mental, Like, I've been so much more dialed in.
I was just going to say that about the mental aspect. You know, I tore, you know, my ACL and MCL and all that stuff. And, you know, it was healed, and I still just couldn't mentally run. You know, I was just so scared to run. And it was more mentally for me to start running than it was physically.
Yes, I actually was reading that, like, it's so much more mental. And if you can overcome the mental part, the physical part is easy. And I feel like because I started, whatever the recovery was, you know, I started training and easing back in. And, like, I pushed myself, but then I really felt like my body needed to pull back, I would pull back, and I would, you know, have a hard day and then take a day off, you know, if it was inflamed. But I feel like because I was so determined to get back to fighting, like, I just had to push through all the time. But it was mentally hard. It was very mentally hard because I felt like I wasn't afraid to get hurt again. It was more afraid, like, almost like not knowing if you're pushing too hard or if you're not pushing hard enough, or, you know, if you're doing something if it's painful, is it like a good pain or is it like something that's going to like set you back?
The one part that you said that I tended to do a lot of was take off days.
Can't take them all off, right? That's why you don't get results.
that's the problem. That you got to get it big and strong again. Tendons, like, don't heal on their own. Like, it's not like a broken bone where you just slap a cast on and then you're good to go in like 8-12 weeks. However, like, tendons, ligaments, tendons, like the muscle tissue around it, like, you have to like adamantly like work on it. And it's not just, you know, with training, it is with, like, you know, getting the scar tissue worked on, getting, you know, your muscles stretched. Like, it's such, like, a process.
The advantage to where we live in Tampa Bay, you know, a lot of people told me, and I did, I would go out to the beach and walk in the ocean, like, for weeks before the surgery, and then, which helped the process as soon as I started it to recover, and then I would go back out there and just strengthen it by walking in the ocean.
Oh, well, that's good. I don't have that luxury. I had the cold Chicago winters. I guess I could walk up the hill in a snowstorm.
Snow.
Yeah, with boots on. That might
I don't think. I don't think that would have been as much fun as walking through the ocean. I know at one of the times that you were on, we talked about lemons into lemonade, and I saw that another episode of the book came out, I think it was last year. Talk about Trident's Farm summer camp.
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of just like, so my dad, like, a lot of the book is because my dad is such an amazing artist, and I wanted to do something like collaboration with him. Especially with, you know, the little bulldog, my nickname, you know, turn the little bulldog into a character. But the Trids Farm summer camp, basically, like, so my dad had, like, created, like, the Trids in, like, the 80s, like, around the time I was born. And he just wanted to do something with the Trids. So the little bulldog and her friends, Quinn and Shawnee, and the new addition, Stockham, they go to an overnight summer camp, and, like, the Trids, like, own it, but they teach them how to, like, work hard and have fun, you know, like, basically, like, nothing, and, you know, if you want something, you have to work hard, but also, like, enjoy the process along the way, you know, enjoy what you're doing. So it's kind of like, you know, with anything in life.
Sure.
It doesn't feel like work if you're doing something you love.
Right. That's what they always say. If you enjoy what you're doing, you won't work a day in your life. When you're writing the book, is it you write it and then he would do the drawings? Did he do some of the drawings before you did the words? How do you piece that together?
We collaborated. We met like every week, sometimes sometimes more often. Like, so I would kind of like write the book. Like, we kind of developed the characters first. Because a lot of the characters were from, like I wanted the little bulldog, you know, I wanted her to be specific. I wanted her to have, like, the rainbow-colored hair. You know, I always change my fight braids. And then, so Sockham is, like, a little, like, stock monkey, like, mascot I used to have. And Quinn is my cat. And so we kind of came up with the characters. And then I would go over the book, and I would read the book to him, the story, and we would collaborate and come up with characters, and he would draw, like, my dad is, like, he could just draw, like, and I'm like, no, let's fix this, and let's have the, you know, let's have, you know, the Shawnee always kind of, like, pointing at himself with a thumbs up, like, you know, like, he can just change and create things on the fly, and his creations are, like, even better than, like, I would envision in my head, you know, he's such a good artist, but we collaborated, and we got together, like, constantly, and we were just working on the book, like, in pieces and, like, figuring out, you know, as the story evolved, like, the, you know, the characters and the scenery and like, all kinds of, like, because there's fun, like, little, like, Easter eggs hidden in it. There's a lot of, like, adult humor in the books as well, like, just in the pictures, the illustrations. Like, if you look through them, like, they're almost all kind of like a little, like, I spy. Like, you find, like, new things all the time. It's so, yeah, we had a lot of fun collaborating on it.
So, Felice, like, we're in Tampa Bay, the home of the two-time Stanley Cup champions. There's an amazing tradition where Lord Stanley Cup, you know, babies have been bathed in it, and they drink beer out of it, and it ends up in some pretty amazing places. I've seen the USC championship belt on baseball diamonds throwing out first pitches, but I don't think I've ever seen it on the runway walking down the aisle at Carla Esparza's wedding where you put the belt on her. So question for you is, would the wedding have been postponed if she didn't win the belt, or did they wait for that day?
No. Carla had been waiting, like, because I know Carla had wanted, like, the title fight for a while, and she was, like, pushing for it and pushing for a date, and she already had the wedding set, you know. And then I remember she had gotten the call, and it was like about, you know, okay, we got a date for the fight, and literally it was a week before her wedding, and she was like, you know what, I've already done all this planning and whatnot for the wedding, like, I'm just gonna do the wedding. I don't care if I have a black eye, I don't, you know, whatever. So yeah, like, good for her. Like, she kept, like, I mean, I don't know if I could have done that, you know, like, I would have been so stressed. Stressed about wedding planning, stressed about, like, the fight. Like, what if I, you know, but she did it. And, I mean, what, but then the story is, like, that much better because, you know, now she gets to walk down the aisle, like, UFC champion with her belt. And, I mean, it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the photos were cool. But here's my question, you know, to you, Matt, to everybody. So it's okay that she wore it with the wedding dress, which I thought was fantastic. But when I talked Tim Sylvia into putting the belt on to throw out the first pitch at a Dodger game, he got blasted for it.
I don't get it. I don't know. To each his own, man. Everybody has their own little, like, sacredness with the belt. I remember doing, like, an autograph signing or whatever with, Big Rig. This was his ring name.
Johnny Hendricks.
Johnny Hendricks, yeah. And, like, people, you know, he had the belt with him. And, you know, like, fans would come up to him and, you know, be like, oh, can I try on your belt? And he's like, no. He's like, I earned that belt. He's like, when you go win a UFC belt, you can wear it all you want. You know, so people are different, like, with the belt. Like, everybody has their own, like, how it should be worn, how it should be placed, who should touch it, who should wear it, like, how it should be, you know, like, how you should act around it. I don't know. Like, it's,
sure.
Everybody's got their own just, like, fight rituals, you know?
Well, it's interesting that you brought that up. Our co-host disappeared today. He plays in the NFL. He's with the Saints, Caleb Beninat. And I was going to ask him the question. So I'm going to ask you, because of what you just brought up and how you said it, what are your thoughts on, and we can even talk about it being belts, but there's a lot of people in the Tampa Bay area that wear the Tampa Bay Lightning replica Stanley Cup championship rings like they earned it. And to me, it just drives me crazy. It's like they wear it all the time. I've seen a lot of fans that wear WWE belts and UFC belts. And to me, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to be a fan, but, like, those things, like, those mean something. You know, a trophy means something. Like, a ring means something. It's like you're not just, like, you're wearing it with, like, pride and honor and all, like, the hard work that you put into it. I don't really, like, I mean, it's, I guess,
to each his own.
Own, like, they have to be a super fan, but yeah, it's like, I feel like it's something that, like, it'd be like me walking around with, like, a big ass diamond wedding ring on my ring finger. Like, I'm, like, engaged or married, you know what I mean? Like, something that you just don't do unless you're, actually engaged or married, then you wear the big diamond wedding ring on your ring finger.
Well, it depends on how many carats it is.
Oh, it reminds me back in the day when I told Hulk Hogan that wrestling was the dumbest sport on earth because there's two men fighting for a belt and they have no pants on. So,
and it's not even a real wrestling match. So
it's just really good script writing. Saturday is a rematch from a few years ago. And, you know, I always ask fighters, can you take anything from a rematch? And they would normally say, well, if it happened, you know, 2 months ago, maybe. This happened a couple of years ago. Can you take anything from that?
You're talking about my rematch?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know what she's good at. I know what I need to get better at. I feel like it's kind of like another fight, but I don't know. I don't really know. What can you take anything from it? I don't know what you. I guess I don't really know what you mean by that.
Just that you've already fought somebody, you know, and, you know, people always ask, you know, well, it's a rematch, you know, there's an advantage. And, you know, I've always thought that, you know, it's going to be different. Every fight is different. So I don't know if you can take anything, you know, from a fight that you had quite a few years ago. You know, if it was last week, if it was 2 weeks ago, maybe, but, you know, not years ago.
Well, in the sense, it's like everybody should be like evolving. As a fighter, I feel like I know what she has to offer. Like, I don't think her power is going to be any different. Like, I don't think her strength is going to be any different. So in that sense, like, I am a very strong person. I have power. And now that I have more, you know, technique to go along with it, then it just enhances it. So I feel like for myself, like, I have some confidence, you know. But I never go into a fight underestimating anyone, and I never really look at it like, oh, this is a rematch or whatever. Like, this is, like, going to be a cakewalk, or this is going to be really, like, every fight to me is going to be, like, the toughest fight of my life. And I have, like, my own kind of, like, I mean, it's great that it's a rematch, but, like, for me, like, my story right now is my knee surgeries. Like, the fact that, like, I could overcome 2 ACL knee surgeries mentally and physically and get back just to being able to fight again. Like, that, like, in itself for me is just, like, a win, and it makes me really proud. And I think I took away a lot from my recovery just to become a better fighter. And I'm at a different gym now, too. So, I mean, I feel like I'm just completely evolving. So even, like, the fighter that I am now is a completely different fighter than the fighter I was 3 years ago when we fought.
I gotcha. Have you seen your Panini trading card?
I have. I had to sign. Well, there's a couple different versions of them because I had to sign. Like, there's the ones that don't have the autographs on them, but then the ones that actually have the autograph are different, and then the Immaculate Collection is even different. Are you talking about the one where I'm fighting Justine Kish?
Just in general, you know, have you seen them? We do a lot with Panini, and I've always been curious, you know, that when you athletes do sign them, and then all of a sudden there's like a red signature somewhere, or there's one with a silver Sharpie, and I'm curious if that happened to you, and do they tell you to use a different colored signing apparatus, or is that entirely up to you to throw in a different color?
No, as far as the Panini goes, they were very specific with the inventory and with everything. It was here, this is the exact Sharpie pen that you have to use on every single autograph. And this is how many cards we sent to you, and this is how many, you know, have to be sent back. So if you want cards, you know, you'll have to request that. So, yeah, they were very specific. I don't know if it's just because, you know, they want to really document that it's, like, authentic. But as far as the Panini goes, it was just, if they ever see not a blue signature, then it's not authentic.
Oh, it's fake. I gotcha. Did you request any? Do you have copies of your own trading cards?
I do. I have, yeah. They sent me a bunch. They laminated one or put it in a little plaque. They sent me a bunch of gear. Yeah, I do have my own Panini card.
Very cool. That's awesome. What can the fans expect to see when you get back in the Octagon on Saturday?
I think a completely new Felice Herrig, a rejuvenated one, a very aggressive fighter. I think that is the big thing about being at the new gym that I'm at, too, is, like, I feel like I'm finally able to, like, they enhanced, like, things that I already had and brought new things out in me. Like, before, I was at, like, a gym, and, like, the boxing coach would only have me, like, throw one hard jab, one hard cross, one hard hook. So everything was just, like, stagnant. Like, I had, like, no movement. You know, I have better footwork now. I have better movement. I feel like I have better explosiveness. Like, I've been, you know, I wrestle, like, every day. You know, my wrestling has gotten that much better. I just feel like, I don't know, Felice 2.0.
2.0, that's awesome. Last thing for you, you know, you've brought up Chicago. I know that's where you're from. Can you explain why no ketchup on hot dogs?
Oh, I can't really explain it. I just know, like, the original, you know, hot dog is just, it's a certain way. It's like relish. It's mustard, it's sports peppers, mustard, sports peppers, relish, tomato, and that's just the way it is. I guess I've seen people put ketchup on hot dogs, but the Chicago way is like a Chicago dog is like very specific to those ingredients.
Just curious, I don't put ketchup on. I don't really like ketchup, but I know when I went up there, I had to experience the Wiener Circle, which I went and did that, and they said, just make sure you don't ask for ketchup, you know, so I just thought it was a lot of fun to go give it a try for sure.
Did you go to Portillo's by chance?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, yeah. They're expanding a lot, but they used to be, like, just Chicago, and then they kept opening more, but now I feel like they have some in, like, California as well.
They just opened one in St. Petersburg, where we're broadcasting from, in St. Florida. They just opened a big
really?
One by the mall.
Wow, that's a Chicago place. That's been 20, 30, I don't know, long, long time they've been open.
Definitely good stuff. Felice, thank you very much for your time. Have fun on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from Ape Man Strong, as well as a box of really cool socks from Odd Sock Official. If you have time and you're hanging out in the hotel room just trying to kill some time, go to the website, oddsockofficial.com, and tell me which ones you want, and I'll make sure that's what they send, or they'll just send you a box of, you know, what they choose, what they take off the racks.
No cupcakes this time? No Wicked Good?
No. See, Wicked Good sold to... Hickory Farms.
Oh.
And okay. So the family still works there, but, you know, they can't do any of that stuff. So, yeah, we lost Wicked Good when they sold for millions. So good for the family. But, no, now we have socks. You can't eat them, but they are pretty cool.
Yeah, I've been actually, I order all the time. Every time I need to send somebody something, I'm like, oh, Wicked Good cupcakes. So they did get a customer from you, so...
Well, it is great cupcakes, that's for sure. But I'm going to email them anyway and say that we talked about it and see if I can get them to send you some.
Okay, that would be amazing.
Have fun on Saturday.
Com. Thank you, I will.
Yep. All right, talk to you soon. That is Felice Herrig back in the cage on Saturday. She's always been awesome.
It's awesome.
You know, right. We talked about the book last time, and hopefully she'll do another one. But that's funny. She does always bring up Wicked Good Cupcakes, you know, so good stuff. All right, we blew through that commercial, so we have about 8 minutes here to talk before Eduardo Perez comes on, who was victorious last night, and it was an interesting story. I know you didn't watch it. His opponent was on The Ultimate Fighter 2.
Oh, okay. Wow.
2, yeah. He hadn't been in a fight in 12 years, 9 years, 8 years. It was number one.
Who did fight, Mike Nichols?
What, back in the day?
Yeah, like, well, who, like, on season 2 Ultimate Fighter, Mike Nichols was on there.
I don't know. Why don't you look at that?
He was a tattoo artist in Denver, and I was training with him at the gym. Actually, where I met Brandon. Brandon was the trainer at that gym.
Let's go.
Brandon.
Yeah, he's here. We may and, go, Brandon.
And so we would train it together, and he was like, I'm training for the Ultimate Fighter. I'm on season 2 Ultimate Fighter. And then he got the call, and he went.
Well, so, then you should know who he fought.
I don't remember. I mean, it was,
so you're asking me if I remember and you don't remember?
It was like 2002 or I don't know. What year?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
Had to be around there. Well, 2004 probably. Because I was already married. I was already with my wife. So probably 2004, 2005.
I couldn't tell you. But the boogeyman's coming up after the top of the hour.
What's the boogeyman?
That's his nickname is the boogeyman.
The bodybuilder?
I don't know what that means. Did you see a bodybuilder just passed away?
No, which one?
A big time one of your guys.
Really?
Yeah, a very young age.
Recent?
I think I saw it 2, 3, 4 days ago.
Really? I didn't see that.
So.
Recent bodybuilder.
Why don't you Google your Nichols guy since you brought that up?
Season 2.
Would be ironic if he fought Maximus. Kind of changed his name. He has his own gym.
August 22nd to November 5th, 2005.
Okay.
13 seasons.
What's 13 seasons?
There's 13 episodes.
Okay, 13 episodes of season 2.
Of season 2.
Okay. And the coaches, I believe, were Matt Hughes. Was that the Matt Hughes, Rich Franklin?
Yep. It was Matt Hughes, Rich Franklin. Okay. Season Randy Couture hosted and designed the team challenge segment.
Okay.
Let's see.
What team was Nichols on? Because Bobby, who fought last night and lost to Perez, was on Matt's team, I believe.
Team Franklin had welterweight Jorge Giselle. Marcus.
Why are you such an idiot? Why are you an idiot?
What? I was just saying his name is Jorge.
No, it's not, and you know that. And ironically, I just talked to George the other day because I told him we're going to come up. And when I say we, I don't mean you and me. We're going to come up to a Bengal game to see Alex Kappa. And I said, you know, we need to catch up, you know, and go out to dinner. No, I said, we need to catch up and share a bag of Cheetos. And he said, absolutely not. We'll go out to dinner. But it's funny that you still remember that story. And I told that story. So I was doing the show from my hotel room at MGM, and George came up to be on the show. He comes into my hotel room. I'm sitting there stuffing my face with a bag of Cheetos, and he was not very happy.
Well,
he does not like Cheetos for the body.
I don't know what that means.
Cheetos is probably not really good for you.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
But, man, that was a pretty stacked team, though. I mean, Team Franklin had Jorge Giselle, Marcus Big Baby Davis, Anthony Torres, and Melvin Gilliard. And then your heavyweights on Team Franklin were Keith Jardine, Seth Przolski, Rashad Evans, and Brad Imus. And then Team Hughes had Joe Stevenson, Josh Berkman, Sammy Morgan, Luke Cuomo, heavyweights Mike Whitehead, Dan Christensen, Rob McDonald, and Tom Murphy.
Rob was who fought last night.
The narrator was Mike Rowe. That's the dirty job
That's
guy.
That's the dirty guy. The dirty job guy. He's not a dirty guy, just a dirty job guy.
That has a pretty cool
and,
job.
And look at how many of those guys, you know, did have a successful career.
Yeah.
You know, in the UFC, not just MMA, because I'm sure some of the other guys, you know, went MMA-wise and maybe didn't make it in the UFC. But Joe Daddy, who was on last week, that was his first episode, and then he was on when they brought a bunch of fighters back.
Man, what a! I was like, this is what got me into the sport, really. If it wasn't for the Ultimate Fighter TV show back then, I mean, it was like back when like MTV created the reality world, right? Like the Real World and then House, like Road Rules and all those different reality.
That's where
shows.
The Miz got known.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and then he went from there, you know, to a very successful, you know, WWE career. We used to watch that just because the kids liked it.
What happened to Josh Koscheck?
What do you mean?
I haven't seen him lately.
That's because he's retired.
Well, I know he's not fighting, but like, what's he up to? Like, he was a big name in the sport.
Yeah, fought for the title.
I always liked him as a fighter. I always thought he was really good for the sport.
I was with him in Houston when he was quitting at the weigh-in. He got shoved at the weigh-in.
Okay.
And he literally was going to quit. And we were at the van together. And the commission came over. They were going to fine him, and he's the one who got hit. He got pushed. And
I want to apologize. I know I've never done this before, but I actually made a mistake. I'm wrong. Can you believe that? Mike Nichols was on season 3 of The Ultimate Fighter. He was on.
Well, I noticed when you read both teams and you didn't say his name.
He was on Team Ortiz with Matt Hamill, Michael Bisping, Josh Haynes. I'm sorry. He was on Team Shamrock. He was on Shamrock's team for the light heavyweights against Team Ortiz. So Mike Nichols.
That was a fun season to watch for me as well, being friends with both Ken and Tito. And then a lot of those guys went on to be familiar.
Is all strong.
With which one?
Strong. That's a strong word.
Not with those guys.
I guess friends, like really friends?
Yeah, Ken and I and Tito and I are friends.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tito and I are closer friends than you and I are.
That's not true.
It is true.
Why?
Because it's true.
Because you've known him longer?
Well, I've definitely known him longer. He's more reliable.
That's not true. I'm here. I'm consistent.
Yeah.
Like your co-host is out where?
He's sick.
Oh,
well, you were sick a couple weeks ago and it was okay.
Yeah, but that's different.
Why is that different?
Because it's not me.
All right, let's go hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we will talk about last night's Ultimate Fighter, which is available on ESPN+. Plus, the Boogeyman, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
And we're about.